Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Talk You Back from the Ledge edition of Scrambled Eggs. I'm Joe McCann, along with Phil Bush. Hey, Phil.
Hi, guys.
How you doing? All right, we're going to get through a lot of things as we're all disappointed from the result of the Ohio State game over the weekend, but I do want to start off with a couple things. First of all, I want to send some well wishes to Steve the Homer True, who I'm sure all of you know by now, was in a car accident last week and was in the hospital in critical condition for a while there, but he is out of the hospital and reportedly recovering and on his way to recovery. So, Homer, please get well soon, and hope you're back in the radio booth again very soon.
Yeah, and also, he was interviewed on local news, and he looked just fine, except for all the bruising and the giant neck brace.
Yeah. Well, it's good he's out of the hospital.
Yes.
That was some very upsetting news last week. But some more positive news. Congratulations to the Marquette men's soccer team, winners of the Big East Championship on Sunday. So good for them. So, hey, we got a winner in Milwaukee there.
Yeah, well, hey, maybe they stole all the juju.
Yeah, maybe so. But good for Marquette soccer. But the issue at hand, of course, this is your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. And, boy, that was officially a disappointing performance on Saturday, Phil, against Ohio State. National television, 35 points, the lowest Marquette has scored, I think, since the 1940s. So it's Marquette's lowest offensive output in the shot clock era. It's just the game really couldn't have gone much worse for Marquette.
Well, I mean, the whole thing was I didn't think the offense could get any worse than the first half, and then the second half happened. So not only did we play terrible, but we got worse as the game went on.
Right. 19 first half points. Go to the locker room and say, well, at least we're tied. Maybe put things together. And the defense, if you want to find one silver lining, the defense was all right, holding Ohio State to 52 points. Ohio State didn't shoot particularly well either. But I thought, you would think if you hold the number 10 team in the country to 52 points, you would hope that you could get 53 and get out of there with a win somehow. But Marquette shot 18%, 19% from the field.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, wow.
It was just atrocious. And, you know, this will probably be the only thing I'll say that people construe as mildly positive is, I mean, Ohio State's defense is really good. Having said that, we were terrible. I mean, it was just awful.
Shot selection was bad. Shooting was bad, obviously. And the most glaring thing, of course, was the outside shooting was poor. When you're 1 of 18 from downtown, and you know, Thad Matta basically said after the game, yeah, we were going to pack it in and make them, he didn't say this, but he essentially said, we're going to pack it in and make them shoot to beat us. And that's why I think Devontae Gardner and Otule and maybe, you know, to an extent, Steve Taylor can almost get a pass on this one, because when they've got three or four guys on top of them every time they touch the ball, they're not going to get many points.
Oh, yeah. I was watching the entire game. Anytime Devontae got the ball in the low post, whatever guard was on the perimeter was dug down halfway into the post, helping defend against that with absolutely no fear of, especially if it was Derek Williams, no fear of some sort of offensive output coming from that direction. It was, I mean, it's almost to the point where it's a miracle we scored 35 points.
Right. Derek Wilson, 1 of 7 from the field. Jake Thomas, 0 for 7. Todd Mayo, 3 for 15. Yowza. When you get that kind of output from your guards, you're not going to beat anyone, really.
Well, I mean, some of these shots, like, is it poor shooting form? I mean, we saw this in Syracuse last year. We saw it for the first 39 minutes of the Butler game in the tournament as well. Or not, excuse me, not Butler, the Davidson game. Is this poor shooting? Is this poor shot selection? Do they just suck at shooting three-point shots?
I think it's a little bit of all of that. I don't think there's a true shooter on the team. Well, you know, Todd Mayo can be.
Right.
And you know, when Todd Mayo's good, they can beat anyone. But when Todd Mayo is 3 of 15, Marquette really is not going to beat any RPI top 100 team.
I mean, statistically, feel it. Statistically speaking, some of these shots should accidentally go in.
You would hope. There were a lot of blown layups. A lot of missed layups, some because of defense, and sometimes guys just got in the lane and just flat out missed it. It seemed like there was a lid on the rim sometimes.
Juan Anderson had one of those that just, it was a beautiful play, went to the rim, and it rolled around and out, and it was kind of like, yep, All right, and that was midway through the second half, and that's
right.
Kinda...
That, I think I remember that play too. I'm like, it's just not their day. Nothing is going to go in.
Yeah,
and you know, really, offensively, no one had a good game. You know, Devontae Gardner only got 6 shots off. One of those was a 3-pointer that definitely made Buzz Williams' blood pressure rise because he pulled him right after it.
Well, yeah. So we can officially all end the you know, and I would probably got carried away myself, but Devontae Gardner is not a 3-point shooter or a threat out there, so he should not be doing that, right? We can end that speculation.
Yes, and I'll defend Devontae in this. I believe when he took that shot, it was in the second half.
No, it was in the first half.
Or was it in the first half?
Yeah, it was in the first half. It was in the first 6-7 minutes of the game. It was pretty early, and it was early in the shot clock. There was no paint touch.
Mm. Okay, then maybe I can't defend him. But what I was going to say is, if he's getting double-teamed every time down there and no one else is making shots, maybe he thought he would try something. But still, not really an excuse, I guess. He's not Dirk as much as he would like to be Dirk. Hopefully that's just a one-time thing, and Buzz, you know, lets him know that in film session this week, get down low, get to the free throw line. That's your strength. And I think Devontae knows that. I think that was just a momentary mental lapse, and I'm really not going to go into it much farther than that.
Yeah, well, but, I mean, I'm okay with him as a jump shooter, you know, 13, 14, 15 feet. I mean, he had the one that was the only positive I saw at all in the second half was the little banker from the end line that he put in. I'm fine with him if he's shooting little jumpers. 3-point shots, it's a cute, you know, Marquette Madness kind of trick. This is not, you know, this is not reality.
Right, if they're up 15 points on senior night in the closing minutes, fire away.
Right.
Sure, no problem. But, yeah, Devontae doesn't need to be shooting threes. And quite frankly, from the way Marquette shot the ball on Saturday, I don't know if anybody should be shooting threes.
No.
1 of 18. Yowza. Well, and you know, the two-guard position is something we're definitely going to have to look at. And, you know, it's easy to pick on Jake Thomas, and we'll get to that, obviously. But overall, the overall guard play is very concerning moving forward.
Well, I don't know who, you know, if we're not going to get anybody that can shoot the ball to stretch the defense, then we got to get somebody that can feed the post, and we didn't have anyone that could do that either.
Right.
You know, it was just I mean, one thing before we fully immerse ourselves in the two guard, I will say a couple of times Derek Wilson got to the rim, which was great, except he couldn't make a bucket to save his life. It was, and I'm in no way comparing him to Vander, but it was like Vander freshman, sophomore year, where he'd get to the rim and just throw up these wild shots. And you would expect more out of Derek as a third-year player in this system. Like, he's got the athleticism to get there, but he can't shoot at this? I don't understand. I'm baffled.
Yeah, after 2 easy wins over Southern and Grambling, the debate was still out there. Has Derek Wilson done a good job? Has Derek Wilson just, you know, inflated numbers because of SWAC competition? And maybe I think the debate will still rage on as the months go by here, but he was definitely exposed against Ohio State. They, you know, sagged off him, said shoot if you want to, and they, you know, he wasn't able to really get anything going, nor was really, you know, anyone else in the backcourt. But, you know, one assist, 2 turnovers for Derek, 1 of 7 shooting. Obviously a disappointing night for him to go along with several other disappointing afternoons for the Golden Eagles.
Yeah, well, and like you said, with the two guards, I'm pressed to figure out which I was more disappointed in, Derek Wilson or the two-guard situation. Because, I mean, they're both pretty detrimental to the team, but I do think the two-guard situation is probably worse because while Derek may not present any offensive threat whatsoever, at least his defense is exemplary as always. It's these two guards. We got almost no scoring out of anything.
Right, and you know, Mayo had 11 points, but when it's on 3 of 15 shooting, you can't really applaud 11 points.
Well,
but,
and I think at least 4 or 5 of those points were with 8 minutes left when the Bradley Center was half empty.
Right, right. Yeah, it wasn't a good game for Mayo, and obviously what everyone wants to talk about, and it's fair to talk about, is Jake Thomas starting, and 1, starting, and 2, getting 29 minutes in a game like that. You know, he was 0 of 7 from the field, 0 of 6 from 3-point range. You know, since he came to Marquette, he came in with a reputation as a shooter. He is a 26.5% 3-point shooter for Marquette in his limited action in 3 years. And if you take out the Grambling game, he's 22% because he was 3 of 5 in the Grambling game. But I like to call it the Grambling scrimmage because I think there are high school teams across the country that could take Grambling. That just wasn't a very good team. But the fact remains, I still think I don't want to make this the bang on Jake Thomas show, but the fact remains, he's a Summit League player to me. He's a walk-on, and he got 29 minutes, and you just kind of wonder how far behind are the freshmen that Buzz continues to stick with those guys when nothing's working. And I know Buzz said in post-game, a game like that, I'm not sure you want to go and start getting 10, 11 guys in the game, but, I guess my opinion on that would be, I'm no coach, I'm just a nerd on the podcast, but, when you're getting your face caved in by 20 points in the second half, maybe the 9 guys you got aren't working. Maybe you do want to try the freshman and just try to get them some run and just see if they can get a bucket. Just get anything.
What is it? I guess I don't understand that quote from Buzz. What does it hurt? Like,
right.
I think what he was doing, because in the last 4 or 5 minutes, he had the same lineup for 4 or 5 minutes, which you never see Buzz have that, no substitutions for 4 or 5 minutes straight in a game. So personally, I don't know anything. I think Buzz was trying to send a message or this was a teaching moment, or this is something about character being revealed during that. So maybe there were alternative motives, and it was more about the 5 that were on the court than the 2 freshmen who didn't touch the ball at all. That being said, the 2-guard situation, you almost excuse Jake Thomas, because it's like, why is he even out there to make these mistakes?
That's kind of my thing too. I don't blame Jake Thomas for being Jake Thomas. He is what he is at this point. What my concerns are, one, I would ask Buzz why Jake plays so much, plays 29 minutes in a game like that. And two, I think it's definitely on guys like Juwan Johnson and Juan Anderson and John Dawson to take those minutes in practice. Because obviously Buzz doesn't trust those guys yet to play them significant minutes. Because if he did, they would have played in that game.
Right.
So obviously they're doing something or not doing something that's causing them to not get minutes. And, maybe Jake is just an outstanding practice player, and every week the coaching staff thinks, all right, this is the week Jake's going to break through and show everyone that he deserves to be a starter and get 29 minutes against the 10th-ranked team in the country. But
even during the game, there was no – we literally ran 2 or 3 plays, by my count, for Jake Thomas. Mm-hmm. We ran him off a couple of secondary screens to free him up. What during the game?
And he did get some wide open looks too, and it was just clang each time.
Right,
and
but
sometimes he gets a wide open look and fades away, and I guess that's when I get a little irritated, when he kind of fades away like Kobe Bryant. I'm like, man, that's not helping your cause at all.
Right,
I
agree with it. Maybe he's practicing really well, or the other guys aren't practicing nearly as well. But what is it even during the game that says, you know what, I got to put Jake back in because. I feel bad. I feel like we're ripping the crap out of the kid. I'm sure he's a great kid. He's at Marquette. He's one of ours. But oh my God, I just don't see what we're gonna do at this point.
Right. It's 29 minutes, and he didn't really get anything in those 29 minutes. He got 2 free throws when he was fouled off the ball. I guess when they,
right,
they grabbed him
because
on the inbounds
Jim Burr hadn't had attention in quite some time.
Look at me. You guys miss me? You just didn't get much in those 29 minutes, and I do wonder what would have been the harm in sending Juwan Johnson in there for 5 minutes and seeing what happened. Deontay Burton only played 8. I would have liked to see more of him.
Because
the first 2 games, he definitely looked like the best freshman.
Yeah,
he's got a college-ready body. I thought he pretty good in the post, good rebounder. I guess we haven't really seen him take jump shots yet. That many anyway, but I would have liked to see him get more than 8 minutes.
Well, and there was if I'm remembering the play in the first half correctly, because it was kind of an oh wow moment for me, right after Burton came in that first time in the first half, he kind of made a move to the bucket, and I don't remember if there was a foul called prior or if he went up and he didn't get he missed the layup, but it was like a crossover trans. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but I just remember him going down the left side of the lane, like outpacing everyone and putting a move on the guard to get open and thinking, all right, we have something we can work with here. Now, he looked completely lost on the offense when he wasn't with the ball. Like, there were a couple of times where he kind of looked like he was just wandering around. But, you know, he still should. He's still athletic enough, and it's basketball. They can figure it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to let them play and just see if the guys can go in there, and even if they go off script a little bit and just can just get to the bucket and just get you 2 points and just break a long funk. I mean, when you only score 16 points in the half, and, you know, 12 of those, you know, 12 in the last, 16 minutes of the game.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to, it's like, try something. A guy maybe that hasn't seen all, go something totally different. Just put Dawson and Johnson in together, and maybe they get you 4 points somehow.
Well, you know what else? If we're gonna call out Jake Thomas, we also have to call out Jameel Wilson, because he's a senior. He's been through this before. I almost didn't notice when he was on the court.
I agree. I really had to look at the box score to make sure he played, to be fair.
I know he went down hard. And
right, he did have – yeah, there was one time when I figured, oh, man, here comes our first really big injury of the season. Well, aside from Dwayne Wilson. But, yeah, he got back up, and I don't know how much that injury affected him throughout the course of the game. But Jameel was a non-factor. He really was.
You know, the guard play was terrible, but if you have Jameel, you have Otule, and you have Gardner playing, there's something salvageable there. But there was just I'm hard pressed to. I guess I would ask you the question: do you think this is a talent deficiency, or was yesterday a coaching issue, or some combination thereof?
I think it's everybody. I think it's on every. I wouldn't say it's a talent issue so much, because I think there is. Maybe it is a talent issue in regards that there really aren't any true shooters. Regardless of what people say goes on in practice as far as shooting performances, it doesn't translate to games. And if the team can't make 3-pointers in the games, that's all that matters. We're not talking about practice.
Right.
We're talking about games, not practice.
Yeah.
So I would say from a talent standpoint, yes, there is an issue that the team doesn't have any really good shooters. And I think that's pretty obvious at this point. At least no one who has been able to play has been able to show that they can shoot. Todd Mayo is a volume shooter who can really light it up from time to time, but Saturday was one of Todd's bad games. I mean, he was one of six in the field and just really struggled getting any shot off at all. So I would say from the talent standpoint, yes, Marquette is missing shooters, and that's obvious. From the coaching standpoint, defensively, I think, as I said earlier, I thought they were ready, and I thought they played pretty well. The only thing I would say about from the coaching side is, as we've kind of beat to death already, is substitutions and maybe just trying something when the 8 or 9 guys you're playing aren't giving you anything.
Right. Well, and Derek Wilson didn't sit out until, I think it was 7-8 minutes left in the second half.
He played 38 minutes, so he almost played the entire game.
Yeah. And they went to this Jameel Wilson is the point guard, which, you know, supposedly was put out there by Bill Rafferty during the preseason review. So I guess that's a real thing that's actually going to happen. But I mean, it didn't help. And why John Dawson in that situation is not just as effective. I'm just kind of in general at a loss for words. I mean, this loss. I'm always kind of a silver lining guy. I'm always a relatively positive guy. I don't go over the ledge nearly as much as other people do. But this has got to be the worst loss Marquette's had in a long time. Certainly the only one I could think of worse is the Western Michigan game in the NIT.
Right. It's tough to define tough loss, because there's two ways a loss is tough, or three ways, I guess. One is you just look bad and get embarrassed. Two is you just lose to a really bad opponent, and that doesn't matter if you lose by 30 or if you lose by 1. So, you know, when you lose to someone like Green Bay, that I would say I would almost rather lose by 25 to Ohio State than lose by 1 to UW Green Bay. Maybe that's just me. And then I guess the other type of bad loss is when you just, you know, gag away a game and you lose a heartbreaker, like, say, the epic meltdown against Louisville a couple years ago. So those are the three ways I would define horrible losses. There's a couple ways to look at it. But as far as getting embarrassed and looking bad, I would say, yes, this would be up there in recent memory for sure.
See, and I agree with your standards, but I this, to me, like the UW-Green Bay game, yes, that's a horrible loss. But that's a game that you can clearly take some strong lessons from. All right, we got to take everyone seriously. That was more about it being an off night. I'm concerned, and again, maybe I'm in panic, you know, or in a Chicken Little mode and panicked. But that game yesterday felt like we might legitimately not have a good team.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, the concern maybe is the team is not going to get any better because you don't see a way they get better.
Right.
Well, yeah, and I would pump the brakes on that because Todd Mayo is not going to be 3 of 15 every night. You know, Jamil Wilson hopefully is not going to be 1 of 9 every night. And hopefully Dwayne Wilson is back this year. And we still don't know what his status is, whether it's going to be a couple weeks or it won't be or it's going to be the entire season. But I think if he comes back, hopefully he's in good enough shape that he can contribute. And I think he can help at the one or the two, but maybe that's so far off, maybe it's not even worth discussing. And I'm still hopeful that Marquette, you know, it seems like I've been on the Juwan Johnson bandwagon since the preseason when people were really talking about how well he looked in the early practices. I'm still hopeful that he can contribute and eventually take minutes away from Thomas there at the two. Now, I will say this, after watching, because Johnson did get plenty of run in the first two games against Southern and Grambling, and I will say I was a little alarmed at his shooting form because I didn't watch enough tape on him or, you know, mixed tapes or whatever on YouTube. I guess I never really saw many jump shots from him, and his jump shot does look a little funky, and maybe there is some concern that his shot may need a lot of work like Vander Blue's did, and maybe we may have to wait on him like we did Vander Blue, because Vander Blue really didn't emerge as a scorer till some point during his sophomore season. It really came through as junior when his three-point shot actually started falling at a decent rate. He still wasn't a great shooter, even when he was playing well towards the end there in the Big East tournament and the NCAAs. So I guess I am concerned that we do have to wait on Juwan Johnson to really emerge, but I am also hopeful that he will get an opportunity and hopefully earn some more minutes in practice. I don't know what he has to do. Buzz said in postgame that he hasn't done anything wrong. He and Dawson, he just didn't think there was room for them in that game for whatever reason. But I just hope that he and Dawson do find a way to earn more minutes and get Buzz to trust them a little bit, and maybe they will get an opportunity to do that here in the next few weeks.
Well, and I think we should now officially no longer believe anything that ever gets rumored out of practice.
Right. Because
Jake Thomas was a great shooter. Right. You know,
I joke about the practice legends all the time. I call it, you know, when you know, they say things like in football, our field goal kicker has a career long of 70 yards in practice. Well, that's terrific. His career long in a game is 45. So what does practice do you? I don't like the practice legend. I don't like hearing about how great a guy or any athlete in any sport does amazing things in practice. Show me what he does in games.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, and so we've heard, you know, Juwan Johnson is the best player out there. Well, I think it's telling that he didn't get minutes and Burton did. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not giving up hope. I'm at a legitimate state of concern right now for this team. We'll see how it gets better. The team's always better in February than it is in November. We know that. Yeah.
You know. Most teams are, but I think that is especially true for Buzz Williams teams. And in typical Buzz fashion, he does say often, it's almost an annual quote from Buzz in November, you know, we're not very good, we shouldn't be ranked where we are. And right now, everybody would wholeheartedly agree with that. But you know, by the end of the season, he really changes his tune. He says, look at all the teams we play, look how much we've improved, look how all these games we've won. Hopefully, he is saying that in late February, early March again this year. Marquette has suffered bad losses in November and December plenty of times under Buzz, under Crean, whoever, and been much better later in the year. I think, you know, when Marquette went to the Final Four, they lost to East Carolina that year.
Yeah.
Marquette lost to, as we've well documented, Green Bay last year and went to the Elite Eight. There's still plenty of room for improvement, And I guess the silver lining, maybe you could say, well, that is the toughest opponent on Marquette's schedule. Maybe not the toughest game. I think maybe going to the Kohl Center might be the toughest game on the schedule. Maybe going to Arizona State, we'll see. But, you know, there are plenty of tough games left. But, yeah, that was probably the toughest opponent they'll see. So maybe that is rock bottom. Hopefully that is rock bottom for the team this year, and it's all the way up from this year. But a lot of guys have to play better. Really, everyone on the team needs to play a little better. Like I said, the only guys I almost give a pass on this game would be Gardner and Otule and maybe Taylor, just because they weren't getting any help from the guys behind them, so they were just absolutely swarmed every time they got the ball down low and just weren't able to do anything.
Yeah, well,
I think in future games, you'll get a lot more from all those guys, especially Gardner. Gardner's going to get plenty of points. He's going to be just fine. The concern is who is going to step up in the backcourt on the perimeter and really step up. As I've said, it has to be Juwan Johnson. I want to see a little more from Juan Anderson. I think being a junior, I think it's fair to expect more of him. And if he can make that three spot his, because the thing is, you know, people will say, well, obviously Mayo should be starting at the two, then Jake Thomas wouldn't play. But Mayo and Thomas play together a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they're on the floor together a lot. So if, you know, yeah, I think Mayo starting and getting the lion's share of the minutes of the two is almost undebatable. But if Juan Anderson could make the three spot his and really emerge as a guy that is indispensable at the three, then I think we'll see the offense and team improve as a whole.
Right, and Anderson, again, he shows flashes. He had the putback dunk, you know, that the Trent Lockett type type play in the game. So he's got flashes there. I agree. He and Jameel need to get a lot of production out of the three. I mean, that's kind of what Buzz's system's all about, right? The switchables. So the the 3-4 position kind of being switchable and getting a lot of points. Should note, you know, Steve Taylor was in the starting lineup, which is, for me, I think is great. I think that's where we need to go. And he had 10 rebounds. He had like...
Nine.
Yeah,
that's close enough.
He had something like 7 in the first 10 minutes. I mean, his production was off the charts initially. So, we just need to see more production out of the 3 through 5, and the one just has to play better a little, you know, some. I mean,
right.
We're not going to get any scoring out of anyone playing the one unless Dwayne Wilson is a revelation.
Right. And it's still, I think it's still too early to give up on Derek Wilson and say he's just a guy at this point. I think he had a really bad game. That's, you know, Junior Cadogan has had worse games, to be honest.
Right.
And he was still fine and helped Marquette win a lot of games even after some of his worst games.
Well,
It's too early to punt on Derek Wilson. He'll be fine, and he has to be, because he's going to be the starting point guard every game this year.
Right. Well, and the other thing, and I circle back again. I feel like I'm repeating myself. Some of this is definitely on the coaching, because I do think, and this is maybe why Buzz's teams are always much better in the back half of the season, is Buzz has a certain way of doing things in terms of how he installs his defense, how he installs his offense. I think I've seen numerous places he always has the defense put in place first, which we saw the defense was credible against Ohio State. But the offense is just not put in place yet. I mean, look at the back line out of bounds plays. We must have had a quarter of our turnovers just trying to inbound the ball.
Right.
You know, and that can't happen with a legitimate Division I. That shouldn't happen with a Division II school, let alone a Division I school.
Right. And there have been issues. I guess I can't really point to that many specific examples, but I guess I just feel out-of-bounds plays have not been a strength for Marquette over the last few years overall.
Yeah, that's probably fair, but it was especially atrocious yesterday.
Yeah, it was bad. There were some, you know, bad turnovers, and I really don't think there's much more to say about the game to be it to death. You know, front court was swarmed. Hey, they out-rebounded Ohio State by 15.
Well, yeah, but that also comes from taking a ton of missed shots.
Yes, when you're recovering a lot of your own
bricks. But, you know, the good news, you know, we've beaten a dead horse, and we probably made all 7 of our listeners suicidal, and Lord knows we can't lose any more than we already have.
Right. Just going forward, Phil, for me, what I would like to see going forward, in a perfect world, obviously, you'd like to see a little bit more from Derek Wilson as far as less. The thing is, he only had 2 turnovers. It seemed like more. Obviously, you'd like to see him either step up, become a little bit of a threat from the outside, hit just a couple outside shots. I'd like to see that, and I would like to see a little bit change in the personnel at the 2 and 3. I would obviously like to see Mayo playing most of the minutes. He and Jake Thomas play the same amount of minutes, 29. But I'd like to see Todd Mayo, one, starting and playing 29 minutes, sounds about right. And then I would like to see Juwan Johnson, Juan Anderson, and Deontay Burton really step up and take more minutes and just become indispensable players in the rotation. If that can happen, then I think that the offense will improve as a whole, because then maybe teams will have to get out and respect some of those guys, and that'll free up Gardner and Otule.
Right. Yep, I agree. I agree with everything. I think Jake Thomas, if he's getting more than 15 minutes, I mean, in an ideal world, it should be less than 10. But if he's getting more than 15 minutes, we're still broken.
I agree.
We're still not there. We'll see if the offense... And now we've got... This is kind of the positive. So Ohio State was a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. We've got 5 days, and then we play New Hampshire, which all I know is they're from New Hampshire.
They were 9-20 last year, for those curious. They, as we're recording this, they are 2-0 on the season. They beat something called Suffolk University and then Duquesne. Then they have NJIT before they play Marquette.
Well, hey, we can say this. Their non-conference schedule is definitely worse than ours.
Right, yeah. Suffolk might be able to take Grambling, but...
Right. I would hope so at this point. We need somebody other than Grambling to have a little bit of challenge. So we've got 5 days of practice. I think there's a lot of teaching opportunities from yesterday's game. And then we'll see how they bounce back. If... I think the bellwether is... it's not going to be perfectly clean. Jake Thomas is still going to be playing, I'm sure. I'm sure there's still going to be shooting issues. But the bellwether is going to be, does this look like a legitimate basketball team on Thursday? If they still seem hesitant, I think that starts to become a real concern that the players just aren't going to pick it up.
Yeah, and the thing is, even if they look sloppy on Thursday against New Hampshire, as long as they win and just look a little better.
Right.
Let's score 60, 70 points, hopefully, and get Gardner his touches. And the minutes at the two guard, I feel like something is going to be something we debate on this podcast all year long. And we'll keep track of that again this week and see if any of the freshmen are given an opportunity to play, or if maybe they are just simply not ready for whatever reason. I guess we'll find that out soon enough. And, yeah, I'll definitely watch the New Hampshire game closely and see how the minutes shake out there. It can't be any worse than Ohio State. If it is, then yes, this team is in serious, serious trouble going forward.
Fully
expect they're going to win against New Hampshire.
Oh, sure.
They're going to bounce back. They're going to play better. Gardner's going to get his touches. Buzz is going to refocus on the whole paint touches thing. The offense will be much smoother. The question is, going forward, will they be ready for Arizona State? Will they be ready for the Wooden Legacy Classic, which follows that? You know, there's so many more tests for this team before they get into conference play and leading up to the big one on December 7th against Bucky. How good will they be then? How much better will they be then than they are right now?
And, right. And
there are plenty of opportunities to learn.
Let's be honest. If they win out in November and December, and especially against Bucky, while this game is definitely indicative and something of a concern, all will be forgotten. I mean, nothing quite as volatile as a Marquette basketball fan.
Right.
You know, like yesterday, I'm sure there were people considering burning down the school. And, you know, and if we go on a run here, they're going to be talking about the second coming of Al. I mean, it's just going to be how it is. So we got to find some levelness, which I think you've achieved, and I'm still trying to get there. I'm still a little depressed.
I'm not standing on any ledge anywhere. It was a bad game. The team knows that. Buzz knows that. I think we all know that. And I think we all know it's going to get better from there. All my hope is that was rock bottom, and there will not be a game this year worse than that. And it will just be all improvement from there. And, you know, we'll work out. The team will hopefully work out whatever minutes need to be worked out around the perimeter, and hopefully things get figured out and the team will get better from there. And I really think that I think we're kind of done beating that to death. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel a little more. I feel this was pretty cathartic. I feel better.
Yeah, I think we've gotten through it. I think I've achieved a level of zen with the game, and I think I'm at peace, and we can move on. We could move on to more of some happier news from this past week. Recruiting going well.
Hey, we got a big man.
Yeah, we got hallelujah. Satchel Paige Pierce, by the way. When I misspoke a few podcasts ago and called him Satchel Paige, actually his full name is Satchel Paige Pierce.
So he's named after the baseball player, right?
He is named after the Negro League legend, so that's cool. But most importantly, he is a 7-foot-tall center, which is going to be much needed next year with the graduations of Gardner and Otule. Of course, also, I think he's verbally committed. He still has until the 20th to officially sign, and then maybe we'll get a statement from the university and a statement from Buzz talking about the kid. But Sandy Cohen, Ahmed Hill, and Mariel Shayok have all officially signed, so they are all on board for next year. So recruiting class is looking pretty good. The one thing that does jump out, though, is, as we've kind of talked about in the past, Phil, Malik Harris did not sign. He's still verbally committed, but it looks like, if you kind of read between the lines there, the thing is, we'd love to hear from Buzz about it, but Buzz can't talk about it until he does sign. But if you kind of read the tea leaves, I think it's pretty obvious what's going on after he was, of course, suspended for his senior year of basketball. Maybe this is just a situation that Buzz wants to monitor in the months to come before he officially brings him into the program.
Yeah, he was suspended for reasons unknown, mm-hmm. other than it was theoretically a repeat offense of some sort. I think it's very much a case of Buzz says, "Hey, listen, you got to prove to us that you can keep your nose clean. We're going to leave the offer out there. If something better for Marquette comes along, so be it. If something better for you comes along, good luck. And, and if we come back together in the spring signing period and you still want to come here and we still want you here and you've proven yourself, okay, we'll examine it then."
To be clear, he is still verbally committed to Marquette.
Right.
He's not, by all accounts, he's not looking around at other schools or trying to find other options. The only thing that would make sense is that Buzz and the staff are going to monitor his situation. Whatever trouble he got into, they're going to make sure it's not going to be a repeat offense. And as you allude to there, Phil, I'm sure Buzz, even if he had signed, they're still going to recruit. They're still going to look around. They may sign one other guy. I would think they wouldn't sign anyone more than that, because then if they did, the team would be half freshman next year.
Right.
So I don't think you really need that. So maybe they might
because
sign.
Because Buzz wouldn't play him, right?
But maybe that's a debate for another podcast. I will say this about the freshman, the myth/truth that Buzz doesn't like freshmen. How many freshmen have come in under Buzz that you said this kid should be playing more and it's a joke that he is not playing?
None.
Really none. I know there was the whole free Steve Taylor thing last year, but he really wasn't that good defensively. It was more kind of tongue-in-cheek that he should just get a few more minutes. The one freshman who did come in and play a lot was Todd Mayo. He played about 20 minutes a game as a freshman when he was really good, honestly, like kind of a sixth man that year. And we're kind of hoping he gets back to that level this year, and he did show some signs of that against Southern and Grambling, not so much against Ohio State. But I think for the most part, it is a myth.
Vander started his freshman year. He started the very first game. So it's not that Buzz won't play freshmen.
Right. He just not. They're just not ready. But I do think the Ohio State game feeds into the myth.
Right.
If I'm John Calipari or Bill Self and I'm recruiting, Diamond Stone or Charles Matthews, whether it's a myth or not, if I have a fact to back up the myth, I'll use it.
Right.
So, if I'm John Calipari.
There's not a misdirection that they haven't found they like yet.
Oh, I'm sure. If I'm John Calipari, I will say, "Hi, welcome to Kentucky, where freshmen are allowed to play," when guys come on campus. But for the most part, I do think it's a myth. I think if guys earn their minutes, they will play. I think that will happen with Juwan Johnson and, if he's healthy, Dwayne Wilson this year. But like I said, the Ohio State game kind of feeds into that. The other part I want to say about the freshman thing, it's going to be hard to not play Satchel Pierce next year.
Oh, yeah, by default.
I mean, he would have to be absolutely and totally lost to not see a minute next year. He's the only 7-footer on the roster next year, and the next tallest guy would be Steve Taylor, who
6'9", if you're generous.
Yeah, 6'8", 6'7", 6'8", maybe 6'9". But bottom line, he's not a center, and I don't think he's going to be comfortable there. But he may have to play that position, when Pierce is on the bench, because Pierce isn't going to play 40 minutes a game, that's for sure.
Not as a freshman.
No, definitely not. He wouldn't play 40 minutes a game as a senior. I mean, that's a lot for a big man. But, yeah, Pierce is going to play next year, bottom line. As long as he's not, you know, use Imbau, he'll play some minutes next year. And I think he's, by all accounts, much more athletic and a little more college-ready than Hughes was.
Right, right. So, hey, we can also put to bed the myth that Buzz can't land big men.
Yeah, hopefully that trend continues with Diamond Stone and many other big men in the 2015 class. So the good news is, Buzz is not done recruiting for 2014. He'll still look around. If there's another big or some other player that he really likes, of course he'll bring him in. But he will continue to monitor the Harris situation. But for the most part, Buzz and the staff can focus a lot of recruiting efforts now on 2015, which by all accounts could be a really potentially big class for Marquette, because they got a couple five-star guys that have Marquette high on their list. I'm sure there are many more that they're looking at. So it's good that they've got these guys. They've got three guys locked up and signed. Pierce is apparently on the way. I would expect maybe some official announcement from his letter of intent in the middle of this coming week, and then Harris is just a situation we're monitoring. So Buzz and his staff have done a great job, I think, with this 2014 class.
Yeah, let's just hope some of them can shoot.
Yes, and not just in practice.
Let's correct.
They can shoot in games.
Right.
A 35%+ 3-point shooter would just be super to have next year. So good job by them on the recruiting. And yeah, I think I'm out of stuff to say.
Yeah, I think we covered it all. Yeah. We can put away our Eeyore suits and hope for the best come Thursday.
Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Scrambled Eggs here on Crack Sidewalks. Again, you can follow us on all the social media sites. We are on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann3. Phil is MOOF23. There is a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page where we post the blogs there. And, of course, we're always on Crack Sidewalks. That's where we post them. And, of course, you can download them through iTunes as well. We appreciate everyone listening. Phil, any final thoughts as we head into New Hampshire on Thursday?
No. I just want to move on.
Yep. Let's just play better. And Marquette will play better. It's going to get better from here, folks. We promise. Both here on the podcast and hopefully on the court as well. Until next time, seashells and balloons, everyone.